out in unbelief. It's getting worse. It just coincidentally happens to go in line exactly at this moment that you were just talking about. In the world, you look at our country and you see things going on around us. We're not blind. And one would say it's getting worse. And because people who say it's getting worse, it depends on the perspective you're looking from. If you're looking from the Christian perspective, in a sense, we're living in times that the Bible says will be like what we're living in now. This is a wonderful account of how Abraham and Sarah dealt with the word that God had for them. Starting in verse 17 of Romans chapter 4. Oh, wait a second, Jess. I know you're getting close. That's okay. It's good to get there and see it with your own eyes, too. All set? Awesome. All right. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, this is what God said to Abraham before they had children. And he was near 100 and Sarah was close to 90, I think. If we go around and say it's getting worse, then why don't we do something? Not as though they were. And start turning that around in our world. We all have a sphere of influence, if you will, the people that we each associate ourselves with. And I hear it in the bowling alley. Testimony was we won every game again last week. That priest has changed, I'm telling you. Man, he's going to be a saint if he keeps it up. Because we can choose. We can choose to speak words of faith. And so let's read this again. Let's read this a little further. Who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So when God spoke to, and you know, you look in the natural and say, how can that be? In fact, Sarah heard that word. She was laughing in the tent, wasn't she? She said, him? You got to be kidding. He's 100 years old. He's wrinkled from head to toe. You're not looking in the natural. It's getting worse. But in the spirit, God still looked to him and her and spoke to them. They weren't childbearing age anymore, but he spoke to them as though they were. And that's the issue with faith. Faith sees things beyond what we see with our natural eye. Faith sees it already done. Not my wife. The principle of faith. Okay? And so now let's read on verse 18. What do you expect to come of your life? It's getting worse. We want to be able to realize that we can do something about it. We have a choice. We can speak words of life or we can speak words of death. Okay. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Remember he went out and looked up at the stars? And God told him he would have more descendants than all the stars in the heavens. You know, the Hubble Space Telescope and other marvelous craft are discovering how huge the universe is that God created. And when they think they found something new, God says, I did that way before the foundation of the world. I saw that, and I created that. And they're just now discovering it. He didn't have any children yet. But he spoke as though he did. And that's the issue. A lot of times we forget that and we live by sight and not by faith. The unsaved do because they don't have anything to believe in, really. They're always going around saying, well, I hope so. But their hope isn't the same as our hope. Our hope is in the living, resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, and the promises of God. Who against hope? Believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. so shall your children be. Your the ones that are coming after you, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and all down through generations that would come through Abraham and Sarah. When God speaks it, it's the truth. And it's the purest form of any truth. Considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Did you ever pray for anybody that couldn't have any kids and you prayed for them and they started having children? Have any of you experienced that? I have 3 times in India. And just this last year, I got to see the son that was born of the couple who couldn't have any children. And he's 8 years old. And we were praying for his sister who was still in the womb that was about to be birthed. She was born. She lived for 4 days. And she got some feeble, aspirins not available. Simple little things that we said. The point of it is, she will have had 3 children, and she couldn't have any before, and 2 others. And I have their photographs. I have the photographs of their children that came the following year. And when that happens, I have to pray in faith, because if they've been trying to have kids for a lot of years and they don't have any, no place they can go to get intro, whatever they call it, so that you can have a child to plant the embryo. And there's none of those things are available. And so when they come to you and they ask you to pray, remember that God is no respecter of persons. That means whatever he's done for somebody else, he'll do it for them with the same attitude. You got to come in faith. You got to come believing it's true. Even before you see the fruit, you got to believe it. And that's the difference between faith and lack of faith. People wait until they see it before they believe it. But in Christianity, we're to believe it before we see it. And when you believe it, you will see it. And this is an amazing, amazing account. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Did you ever hear something so preposterous that somebody came and told you, and you just kind of, yeah, right. You know, and you just kind of blow it off like, what a bunch of hooey. I can't believe that. Well, what happened through all the generations that came down through his lineage? That's what unbelief does. It closes the door of possibilities. If you get into unbelief, that's what happens. It closes off that part of your life that you begin to lose hope. You begin to get moved by more circumstances that seem to, what's the word I want to use? It seems to confirm what you see if you don't deal with unbelief. But was strong in faith, verse 20, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. This is all connected. Being fully persuaded that everything that he promised he would do, he keeps his word. To him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Now listen to the next verse, read them. But for us also, you got to make sure you put your name in there. Wherever it says us, put, you can write in your Bible. It's not going to hurt it. You can put the word me in there. But for me also, to whom it shall be imputed, if God says he's going to promise me something and it's mine, then I have every right to begin to claim it. You know, we're mocked as Christians, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it group. But every time I find a promise, God named it, I'm going to claim it. That's mine. And then I'm going to take hold of it, see things better. I know I see what you all see. Take back a minute. Take it back to its roots. And it's going to take a generation of believers. That's why we're already on the president's hit list. because they consider us dangerous. Because you know what? We are. We are. Well, let's continue and see what happens. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You know, one of the prerequisites of being born again is we are to believe on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Jesus prophesied his own resurrection. It's written all through that he lived, and he continued to teach, he continued to preach, and he continued to glorify the new church that was birthed. Jesus was the first fruit, and the next fruit that came was the believers. And I'm going to talk about that on Resurrection Sunday, about why Mary couldn't touch him. Not only was he the Passover lamb, he was the first fruits unto God, and no one could touch him, not even the high priest. And you can go back and read it. The high priest could not touch that offering. It was holy before the Lord. And so that's another reason why Jesus wouldn't let Mary touch him. He said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father." Now I've told you, now you can come or not come in 2 weeks. Blabbermouth I am. But yes, you know, you watch too much Charlie Brown. But that line is in there. Oh, good grief. You know, when things weren't going right, he'd just, "Oh, good grief." And I know you've probably heard him say that 1,000 times. And then we'd laugh. He'd catch himself and say, "Oh, there's nothing good about grief." And then he'd go back to Isaiah. "Oh, Jesus bore my griefs and carried my sorrows." That's the only grief that's good, the one you let Jesus carry for you. Then it's good. Amen. I'm done.